Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This week on City Counselling, Elena spoke to Councillor Shane Henderson about what moving into Level 3 means for Auckland, and particularly how Level 3 does not mean Level 3. They talk about varying levels of compliance and enforcement in different suburbs and how we can support locals safely during this time. They also addressed the felling of hundreds of non-native trees at Otahuhu, following up on Elena's previous conversation with Shirley Waru. Shane outlined where Auckland Council's influence on the matter reached and gave more sight into the consultation process.
Hi Shane, so we're in Level 3 now. Takeaway coffees, that means takeaway coffees is the most important thing for me, supporting
That's
local
right.
as well. Yeah, what have you got to say about Auckland moving to Level 3 and how we should be treating this time?
Yeah, I've seen people say it's Level 3, not Level 3. It's pretty hard to sort of maintain your composure at a time like this, because we've moved down a level and we've got a bit of extra freedom and you know, takeaway coffee, probably the thing that keeps Auckland moving, right? And it's kind of exciting, but we need to kind of dampen that down, because we've still got a lot of restrictions on us, and it's really important that we maintain our discipline so that we can get out of Level 3 and sort of get back to normal as quick as we can. Yeah,
it's been great, at least for me, walking down Ponsonby Road and seeing all the cafes and even the KFC popping off, but also mildly concerning, just because it's a bit scary to see so many people out and about, and particularly noticing going through the parks and everything, people are being a lot more flippant about the rules than usual. I'm seeing a lot of non-mask wearing and catching up of people with different strollers not that far apart. So yeah, it is very hard after 5 weeks of intense restrictions, but it's just the remembering that we don't want to go back to that and have it all for nothing.
That's right, yeah. I live next to a sports park, and so I kind of see this all the time. And, you know, on a daily basis, I'll see people sort of bump into each other, socially distanced, but still it's not within their bubbles. And, you know, I think we just got to remind ourselves that the more serious we take it, and the sooner we all get vaccinated, of course, then we're all out of Level 3 and we can have as much fun as we like over summer.
Is Auckland Council involved at all in the vaccination drive? Because I know
they've now
want that 90% of Auckland vaccinated by the 4th of October, right?
Yeah, we take a really coordinating role to try and get key messages out to our communities, and that's kind of the main role that we do. But also we're sort of in daily contact with providers, dealing with logistics and stuff. I mean, for example, I have a friend of mine that's approached me saying, look, I've got a bunch of trucks, I want to help use them for the vaccination drive, how can I help? And so we go through the council channels and we sort of work through with government and try and get things all coordinated at the back end. So it's kind of that like unsexy logistic work that sort of makes the gears turn in the background. Yeah, and that's kind of what council's main job is, I think.
That's amazing. So someone's come to you with a bunch of trucks and maybe been inspired by the shot cars bus and going to use it for the same thing.
Yeah. I think it's just a daily reminder that, you know, a lot of people have just really great nature and just really want to get in and help in any way they can. And yeah, I see that all the time. And so, you know, this kind of crisis actually brings that out in people. So it's just really cool to see.
Yeah. How is... I'm not sure whether you know specifically about this, but I feel like I've seen on social media a little bit lately about inequity, perhaps, of Level 3 being enforced around the place, and that poorer, more predominantly Pacifica and Māori suburbs are maybe being a little bit more tightly controlled, whereas people are just going nuts out in Mission Bay or Herne Bay and just, like, not wearing masks, and kind of, like, the unfairness of that. And I was wondering whether you had anything you wanted to comment on at all about that?
Yeah, I can see where people are coming from. I haven't seen examples of it personally and haven't been sort of approached too much about it myself personally. But, you know, I think this is a wider conversation for Auckland and our country, really, about inequality and how different communities are treated differently. I can see how people would feel that way, definitely, because I think that's a daily life situation for a lot of people, and that's pre-COVID. And so it's natural for people to kind of look at this and think, you know, we might be being controlled a bit tighter. And obviously I'd sort of encourage authorities to just take an equity lens on things and actually just treat everybody like human beings, and every community the same.
On another note, I'm not sure how much you personally know about this, but Auckland Council recently issued a non-notified resource consent to allow Te Puna Maunga Authority to fell hundreds of exotic trees on Mount Richmond / Otahuhu. Yeah. And I think that's happening around a lot of Auckland's volcanic cones. The paperwork states that the project's objective is to remove any species not originating in New Zealand from the maunga, which is around 75% of its entire tree cover. And I briefly spoke with Shirley Wadu this morning, the leader of the Respect Mount Richmond group, and it doesn't seem like there's been much consultation with the locals about this, apart from the houses that required giving 10 days notice that are directly affected by this. Yeah, I was just wondering, how will getting rid of this many trees affect the wildlife and locals, and what's the reason for getting rid of this?
Yeah, I think in this kind of topic, it's really important to kind of get some of the detail nailed down. So I'll just try and be as brief as I can. But basically, Otahuhu Mount Richmond is owned by the Te Puna Taonga Trust, and it's administered by the Te Puna Maunga Authority rather than Auckland Council. So, and that authority is an independent authority. So, you know, as an Auckland councillor, it's kind of a bit sailing close to a line for me to comment on their vegetation management program. It'd be like talking to any other kind of landowner about what they should be doing with their land. But, you know, having said all that, the tree removal and restoration program is in accordance with the Te Puna Maunga Integrated Management Plan, which went out for consultation in 2016, and the operational plan they have as well, which was recently agreed and out as well. And so, you know, there have been consultations around this plan. I'm unsure of the exact detail about which houses. I'd need to kind of look into that one for anyone that kind of wants me to do that, and I'd be fine to have a look. But yeah, at a broad level, there has been consultation, and it's been, you know, widely reported on in the media. And yeah, that's kind of the plan of where we're at. But I need to deal with the individual houses and have a look at what's been done, so I can have a look at that.
Okay, yeah, interesting. So how was Auckland Council actually involved in that? They were just issuing the resource consent for the authority.
Yeah. So resource consents are issued independently by Auckland Council staff, and they look at it from a pure kind of planning point of view. They don't have a remit to kind of look at the, I guess, kind of politics side of it, if that makes sense. And it's also not for politicians, you know, that's kind of the point that I'm driving at. It's not for politicians to jump in on resource consent decisions. They're an independent part of council, and they sort of have to look at things in more of a planning perspective. The other thing that I should point out with all of this is that not all the exotic trees are removed. 165 exotic trees are remaining, according to the sources that I have. And also already 11,000 native plants have been planted on the maunga, and a wider restoration program is going to have 36,000 native plants by 2024. So there is a plan to revegetate and to make it look fantastic and really help things like that, those native species there as well. So yeah, it is their plan, but that's kind of where they're at with it.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.